Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Michael,
yes.
Good morning.
Good morning, Stu. How are you?
Just fine. I thought we should come together this morning and sip and chew.
That's, you know, we are the dynamic duo.
Of dining.
Of dining.
Yeah.
And anti-snobbery wine drinking. We are not snobs.
No. It's a snob-free zone here.
Divas, maybe, but not snobs. Good morning, Leanne. How are you today?
Good morning. It's a great-looking weekend.
Yeah, it is. It is. Only half of it left. Only half of it left. But when it was saying the dynamic duo of dining, mm-hmm. I was thinking, God, I don't really feel dynamic today. So I've been sleeping a lot lately. I guess my body has just said, okay, Mike, you've got
sleep.
To rest.
Yep.
You need to sleep.
Yeah, that was when I was recovering. I was talking one time about how sometimes I'll just feel sleepy, and they said, then sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your body telling you you need some sleep.
Yeah. I did that 1 year, 2 years ago during Mardi Gras weekend. I was just worn out, and instead of going out and partaking in the festivities, I just slept.
That sounds like a perfect Mardi Gras weekend to me.
3 days, from Friday till Sunday, I slept. So, but anyway, it's not Mardi Gras.
No, it is not. It is July,
mm-hmm.
and it is actual Alabama July this week.
Yes, God. Maybe that's why I'm so sleepy, just the heat and humidity
taking the
wearing me down.
I hear a lot about this heat and humidity stuff, but mm-hmm. locked in a room that's 40 degrees, I don't notice much.
Well, I've been doing. I've been tight on running that air conditioner, but not lately. Lately.
Yeah.
So, hey, we're finally got. I see our guests coming in the door here.
The door, Philip. So, yeah. Yeah, we got a special guest that's sitting in with us this morning, and we'll have him on in the next segment. But you all expected him last week. It's Matt Golden from the Beer Gardens.
Yeah.
Is it Loda's Beer Garden or is it Loda Beer Gardens?
I don't know.
Is the plural in the first word or the last word?
You used to work there. Don't you know?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. We got somebody getting it. Yeah. We have to keep this place secure around here.
Yeah.
Not let anybody walk
in. Yeah, we don't need any yahoos in here.
Yeah.
Chanting and protesting and mm-hmm. and saying meat is murder because salad is murder too.
Mm-hmm.
Those plants were alive before you put them in your bowl.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But hey, we got a friend who is their birthday today.
Yes, we do. A good friend of the show. Everybody loves
actually,
it.
Actually, yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, and Leanna has not had the chance to meet this friend yet, but she is looking forward to it.
I think she's heard about her.
She's heard. She's heard stories. But Patty Cakes Clark from mm-hmm. Warehouse Bakery and Donuts.
Yum.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
It's a sugar high for days.
Yeah. But Warehouse Bakery, phenomenal place, and Patty has been their chef for a number of years now, award-winning chef.
Yes, she is.
World class.
World class.
World
she
class.
Is. She is that.
Two-time, I think, competitor in World Food Championships. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't been there, that buttermilk pie.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. The cakes, the brownies, all of it. Just
and the coffee. They roast their coffee right there.
Yeah, because Fairhope Roasting Company
shares
the site with them, which is great coffee. Yeah. And and they have good savory food,
and they
too.
They have a music hall there, too.
Yep. So happy birthday, Patty. You know we love
bless you.
Yeah. We'll have you back in here soon just so Leanna can have some dessert for breakfast.
Yes, please.
Also, happy birthday to our good friend Lauren Murphy of Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics.
Yeah, that's right.
She and Dr. Dan and then her little one went to New Orleans, which is a great time to go to New Orleans because no one's there.
If you don't like crowds,
this is the time to go to New Orleans. I mean, it's It's normally not very crowded in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Lauren shared a picture, and it was her and Dr. Dan and her little one, and that's it. That's the only people in Jackson Square.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the square to themselves. And it was just beautiful. But happy birthday to Lauren as well.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Lauren.
Yeah.
And great voice. I remember that day she sat in for you and sat right here and picked on her guitar.
On her guitar. I was here too.
I tried to get Andy McDonald bring his, but he won't do it.
Yeah.
You know, he's such a diva himself.
Yeah. Well, he's got that luxurious curly hair. You know. I mean, Weird Al wishes he had hair as good as Andy McDonald's.
It's a curse to have such, you know, nice
hair. I can imagine, because Mike's sitting here, for those who've never seen him, sporting quite the head of hair.
But guess what? This is the last weekend.
Oh, you getting it buzzed out?
Thursday, it's going away.
You're going to rip the toupee off, huh? I told you, don't use duct tape.
Just this heat and humidity and sweating all the time is just not a good image.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days. Yeah.
In band camp.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord.
Heather and I were comparing old horror stories about band camp because, you know, she was in the color guard at Murphy in high school and talking about how grueling they were. And then I dropped the bomb towards the end and the hardest band camp I ever had was a piece of cake compared to my first practice in full pads in that same weather in football. And she's like, oh, I can imagine. I said, yeah, band camp was not a problem.
After that. I had a lot of memories of playing for Davidson and getting out there in August at 6 a.m. in the morning and then have to come back that afternoon.
On a field that was mostly rock?
No, we had a beautiful field. It was down in a hole by the creek, and it was humid.
Everything in the swamp.
Swampy.
Yeah.
When you wore your shoulder pads, you wore
shoulder pads.
Yes. Yeah.
Well,
those were great days.
Yeah. Though. Well, I played at Mary Montgomery, which make all the jokes you want because we've earned them. Mm-hmm. There's more trucks in the parking lot than there are cars, even in the girls. But that holder culture department has been world class at that school for decades,
and
we played on the nicest field in the county, other than Ladd.
You know, you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who lives in Starkville, Mississippi, and she posted pictures of all the produce places there in Starkville, and everybody's out of produce. And I said, Starkville is in the shadow of Mississippi State, an agriculture school. And they ain't got no produce.
Well, you know, it's funny because Alabama fans have always liked to joke about Auburn being in a pasture. Mississippi State Stadium is literally built in a cow pasture. Mm-hmm. That's what it was before it was a stadium. And they take pride in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And
let's start Vegas.
We need to go there sometime. We need to have all these schools in the area. Bring us to your game day.
Yeah.
Well, probably not this year, but in future, bring Mike and I to your game day. You know, let us schmooze up there in the press box for the game and enjoy the AC and the free sweet tea and stuff, and come back and talk about what game day is like in Starkville, or Hattiesburg.
Yeah,
Have you been to Oxford?
You know, I've only driven through. I've never been there.
I have went to an Ole Miss game against Auburn. In Ole Miss in 2004, when Auburn should have won the national championship, but the media wouldn't let the SEC have another one.
Yeah.
It is incredible. There's nothing like the Grove.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. It's 12 acres. It's a 12-acre park dead in the center of campus.
Full of seersucker.
Well, everyone has these tents set up, and it's so funny. They're the old canvas tents with 100-year-old chandeliers hanging from the top. Mm-hmm. Fold-up tables covered in 50-year-old linen with 200-year-old china sitting on top of it. Everyone is dressed to the nines, but in sneakers because it's probably raining.
Yeah.
And it is the one of the coolest experiences there is. I have been to Tuscaloosa for tailgating, and it's a great experience. Lots of time at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt, it's kind of hard to tailgate Vanderbilt because you just have to park in a neighborhood on the side of the street, but I've done it.
I hope South Alabama made plenty of room for tailgating.
I'm sure they had forward thing. I look for in South Alabama. Want Mike and I to come experience your tailgating atmosphere? invite us to a game. We'll go to any college football game that you let us in for free, won't we, Mike?
Absolutely. Yeah. Free's king.
Yeah.
Free's king.
Yeah. But how many schools have you been to a game in? Alabama for sure.
Southern Miss, South Alabama. Yeah. Alabama, in Birmingham and in Tuscaloosa. That's about it.
Yeah, that's not a bad
one. I just go to Alabama.
Yeah, I've
games.
Been to a game at Neyland, but it was an NFL preseason game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, folks, 343-0106, we got a special guest coming up, Matt Golden from Lodi Beer Garden. Or Gardens, because there's two of us.
Or Lodi's Beer Garden.
Lodi.
Where's the plural?
Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping, it's a place to heal and a place to hurt. After a long week of hell, it's like Sunday church. You'll hear.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Alrighty, now we're back. Sip a chew with Mike and Stu. Warm Sunday morning. We had just had our guest walk in. Tell us how warm it is out there.
It's miserably hot, but it's not there yet.
It's Matt Golden, the owner of Lodi. Is it Lodi? Lodi Beer Garden?
You know, there's so many different pronunciations of it. So we have a bunch of names, but Lodi.
Okay. Lodi Beer Garden, and one of them's in the heart of downtown Mobile. Great little fun place to go to, especially if you need some fat juicy burgers on a donut with grilled pineapple and a fried egg and peanut butter, crunchy peanut butter on it, to wake you up from that hangover, you know, that Sunday morning hangover. So anyway, and then he got one out in West Mobile. Where's the one out in West Mobile?
So we're at 7899 Cottage Hill Road, which is right at Cottage Hill and Schillinger, where the Hungry Owl used to be.
Yeah, okay. All right. That little area is buzzing out there right now, man.
It is. It's such a wonderful group of people that live in that area out there. That's where I grew up, and it's nice to, you know, bring our food and our beer and everything to the West Mobile community. A lot of people, you know, it's funny. We were concerned initially with opening it up because we didn't want to take away from downtown. But what we found is there's two different types of customers. Some of my customers that had been coming to Lodi downtown for years are like, I'm not going back downtown. I'm in West Mobile. The air conditioning's good. The parking's good. And that's my store now. And then I've got other people that, you know, have gone out to West Mobile and they're like, yeah, that's not my scene. I need the hustle and bustle of downtown. But, you know, the one thing that they all say is that the food's consistent at both of them. It doesn't matter where you go.
That's very important. You know, I'm the type of person, I'm going to be more of a downtowner because when I live downtown, but I love to people watch. And you can't watch people out in West Mobile. Where are you going to watch them at?
No, you know, see, the thing is, you get to people watch downtown because you get to see them walking still. So if you're in West Mobile and you're people watching, you're kind of stuck with them for like 30 minutes. Just, are they leaving? So, but I'm a downtown person too, but I love it out there as well. The clientele out there, they're amazing people.
Right, they are. So, how long's that one been in operation in West Mobile?
So we actually celebrated our 2-year anniversary, I think, about a week and a half ago. So
okay. That's that long, really?
I tell you, blink our eyes. You know, we opened Lodi West, I think, 3 or 4 days after my son was born, and so perfect timing.
Oh boy. You weren't under any amount of stress, were you?
Absolutely not. I think I've lost a little bit of weight since then. I put on quite a bit before then.
That's not why I want to lose weight. So, I was going to ask you, a lot of us restaurants are still closed in the area, but you're open and you're going bonkers, I guess, downtown. I've been in there. I've seen it. And tell me, how did it affect y'all? How did, you know,
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, you know, the important thing to let everybody know is that, you know, we're following all the procedures from the CDC and, you know, from the state health board as well, that, you know, we're social distancing, sanitizing. And, you know, the joke that I've told other, you know, customers from other restaurants and just everybody is that what was mandated to us was spread out and put your mask on. We were already doing everything else they wanted us to do, sanitizing everything every couple hours. I mean, we already did that. Yeah. And so, you know, typically I would say 95% of restaurants are really clean places because they are. We're already under such stringent guidelines to be able to serve the community and happy to. But the way it's affected us, obviously, you know, every bar and restaurant in the world has been affected by this. And I think that's the one thing that's kind of comforting as a restaurateur is that, you know, everybody's in this together. And, you know, initially, you know, I think just like everybody, the first few weeks of COVID after the shutdown, you know, we're coming off the high of Mardi Gras, the busiest time, the happiest time and to be a Mobilian. And then this, what a punch to the gut it was. But I think about 3 weeks in, I finally had to take my hat off and sit down and look around and go, everybody's doing this together. So, I mean, you know, it's not just me. And so that pressure of, you know, having everything stacking up, the bills compounding and the account going down and, you know, the everything that it wasn't before that, it was kind of like almost like a relief. I went, you know what? We got to get through this. There's no way that, you know, the president or Congress, the Senate, everybody isn't going to come back and help us out. So once that happened, it was comforting. And we're here now. You know, we're glad to be back open. Man, I hated not being able to see my customers for it was. Right. And, you know, we had a few. We stayed open. We were only shut down for a week. But not being able to see those regulars that you see, you know, 3 and 4 times a week. And wow, was it so fun to get back open to see all those people. It was like Christmas every day, getting to see those people come back that, you know, support my staff, you know, support me, support my family, that helped me put food on the table. Yeah. It was a very humbling experience.
Right, right. There's still a great number of people, and probably the older people are more cautious, have not still ventured out yet.
Yeah, and I think everybody takes their sense of comfortability into account with how they – you know, practice their social distancing. But, you know, we do have some of the older people that come out, especially downtown. And we're excited to put all this behind us. I think everybody is. Right.
I haven't seen any real fatalities yet of businesses actually gone for good yet. Have you seen any?
I haven't, and I hope that I don't. You know, it's I haven't seen any in our downtown community. I'll say that at least.
Yeah,
but we did have some really cool, new, exciting news that we've had happen since we were back open. We hired a new executive chef in West Mobile. His name's Charles. He came from Pirates Bar and Grill down on the island.
Oh, really?
And yeah, we're really excited to have him. And then we've got a new executive chef starting on Tuesday in downtown. His name is Ian. He's from the Midwest. He's actually joining us from Baumhauer's, and we are so thrilled to have these guys. They are going to be able to take our menu to such a new level. So yeah, I'm really pleased.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to know. Good to know. Like what?
Well, I will tell you, Ian, for example, when I was interviewing him, he asked if we had walk-in cooler space because he wants to start curing his own meats and doing his own sausages and things like that. Charles out in West Mobile, he's actually, you know, he's from the Bayou. He grew up there, lives there. He's this hippie in the Bayou. He's got actually kind of an Asian influence, which is not surprising coming out of the Bayou.
Out of the Bayou, yeah.
Some of the dishes that he's making, and, you know, we were talking about bowls yesterday. He wants to do stuff with bowls, which are, you know, obviously trending.
Absolutely.
Through the roof right now throughout the country. But these two guys are really, I tell you, give it about a month and a half once they collaborate and get their new menu out. I'm pumped.
So it's not going to be two different menus or what they add to it, it's not going to be different. They're going to actually work together. And
they'll collaborate together to come out with the main menu, but they will have their own weekly specials at each one of their stores. So, you know, Charles has been doing that every weekend for about the past 5 or 6 weekends. He's got a special that he's running in West Mobile, but we haven't had a chef in downtown and it's been several years. So, you know, it'll be exciting to see that addition come back in.
Yeah. That's going to be exciting for sure. I have to get my bike out and pump the tires up.
Do it. Well, we might after a meal at Beer Garden, they might flatten down a little bit. So
when I bought my bicycle, I had a basket on it. You know, that's sissy looking basket. But now with that Greer's opening up, you know, just 2 blocks from my house in Detente, if it ever gets open, they're still working on it. I'm gonna put that basket back on there.
Do it.
So I can throw some bottles of wine in there and some, you know, some Black Angus beef and.
He's gonna be that guy.
That's all right. Don't forget to hit the bell.
Need a big bicycle corral like you got in your place with a bunch where you park a bunch of bikes and scooters and stuff.
We're just waiting on you.
You know what my favorite? Well, I love the Wiener Schnitzel there.
It's great.
And about the only beer I drink, and I love it. And Red Clay makes one of the best is the Hefeweizen.
We've got plenty of those.
Oh, man.
Backups for days.
Love them. Hey, look, we're going to bring Matt back on the other side. We got some other stuff to talk to him about. 343-0106, give us a call. Text us like Roy Seward just did for Butch Cassidy's. He wants to know about that menu.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And this is Stu. You're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Mike has stepped to the side now, and I'm back with our guest, Matt Golden from Lodaw's Beer Garden, or Lodaw Beer Gardens. I don't know where the plural goes on that. We've been visiting with Matt, who's one of my former employers, and getting caught up on everything that's going on at his restaurants now. It was restaurant when I was there. Now it's restaurants. And Heather and I went and visited the West Mobile location here 2 or 3 months ago.
Good.
And got into those pretzel bites, all the different little... Oh,
did you get with a brie?
No, I think we got like a beer cheese.
Okay.
Yeah. That was fantastic.
You'll have to do it with the fried brie next time. We do a blueberry bourbon jam that we make in-house.
Oh,
and it's a panko-crusted brie that we deep fry and pour that over the top of it. It's good.
That's sounding good. Hey, I need to write down the Caribbean burger that I came up with there when I never got to try it.
The Bienville.
Gave it a name?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You're talking about the one with the teriyaki glaze, pineapple, Swiss.
No. Which one? Mine, I just tested them when it was... doing the recovery, I came in that day. It was jerk seasoning on the burger and mango salsa.
Oh, that must have been a special we were running. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was. You just had me working on some things. I also did a curry burger with chutney on it.
Yeah. And, I was mentioning earlier that, you know, one of the last, it's been a while since we've had a chef in there. You know, you were one of our last chefs that we had at downtown. So we're excited to be taking things back to the caliber that you have.
Right. And you know, it was a brief stint there, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. The family atmosphere was great.
Yeah, we try real hard. You know, my mom does all the accounting and bookkeeping. My sister does the HR and everything. So it is a family atmosphere. We have a lot of husband and wife duos that work for us. You know, Tyler, my craft manager, his wife is over our bakery. She makes all the pretzels and all the cakes and everything in-house. So, it's a really cool atmosphere. We try to be as least corporate as possible.
Right. And it was a great atmosphere to be in. And but this COVID thing has thrown everyone into turmoil. And during this, you did a really wonderful thing where you went out and used the loyalty that the Beer Garden has through social media to publicize other restaurants that were open and letting them know. And, you know, that's the kind of person that I worked for. And it is, and that's a really great thing that you did. And it showed what I have always loved about both the Mobile market and the guys down at Gulf Shores at Orange Beach is it's not a competitor thing. Mm-mm. We're all in this together. And I've worked in other cities and towns where, You know, we had business owners setting each other's businesses on fire and sending customers a mile in the other direction to keep them from eating at another place that was a block down the road.
Wow.
And, you know, you get in those environments and life is miserable. And then you get in downtown Mobile with owners like yourself and David Rass and Tony Sawyer and Panini Pete, and the list goes on and on. And they all work together to promote the community. And you did that with these videos, and I thought it was selfless, you know, to get out there and highlight people who technically are competitors. And you didn't isolate it to just local. You visited a few chains because right now we're all hurting, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, the pleasure was mine, honestly. And you talked about how we're a community and everything, and not getting to see people. So it was awesome to be able to get out there and see some of my colleagues and things right. that I hadn't seen for a while. But we have an extremely, extremely strong social media presence. Our marketing company, Spire, that takes care of all of our stuff, we just decided to use that outlet to push everybody else because, like you said, everybody was in this together, chains, right. local places and everything. I think the only downside of all of it was that we didn't get to do more. I would have loved to have been able to visit more restaurants and things like that. You know, the amount of time that it takes to do all that and everything and still trying to run your businesses right. and everything. But, you know, you say selfless, but you know the one good thing is every place I went, you know, I got to eat some really awesome food, so I got a to go plate.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir yeah. right now, Mike.
So, but yeah, you know, and you hit on everybody working together. You know, it's not really just about serving good food. It's obviously about serving our community and everything. But what a beautiful town we live in, our little Absolutely. City by the bay. So I mean, we want everybody to have the best experience when they come through here. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at a picture of the tunnel and everything, and it just – I think about the thousands upon thousands of visitors that we get on a daily basis that stop into our beautiful downtown and decide to come eat. And, you know, it's crazy. You know, I've over doing this for nearly a decade and talking to people, we've had customers literally from all over the world, and it's awesome to see them send pictures back when they've got a beer garden shirt on and they're standing in front of the Eiffel Tower or they're, you know, somewhere in Australia. We've gotten pictures like that before too, and it's like, wow, it's really just
what, I seem to remember one from the Great Wall of China. Did I see that?
I think yeah. So that was actually one of my buddies' grandfather that lives in California. Mm-hmm. It was a tie-dye shirt.
Yeah.
I do remember seeing that. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. Well, that sense of community is a big part of what the hospitality industry is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're finding out during this is we're getting back to what we're supposed to do as an industry. And, you know, the proliferation of chains throughout the country has turned it from that original noble goal of, you know, it's about the dining experience into, you know, putting seats in the chair and turn and burn and all of that. And this is letting us as a industry remember what it's supposed to be like, you know, and then that's the relationships with our customers.
You know, there was all kinds of funny memes and GIFs on social media when we were in the peak of the shutdown about how you would never see a bartender complain about having to make three lemon drops or, you know, anything ever again that, you right. know, with the, you're going to get the best service and the most eager service that you've ever had before when you go out to eat, just because everybody was so excited to be able to come back out right. and get back to that. Because again, people that work in the service industry don't do it because they can't do something else. They do it because they have a passion
exactly.
for service. I mean, nothing makes me happier than seeing one of my customers with what I call a happy plate, which is it's what I tell my kids when they've cleaned the plate, it's a happy plate, and they're just sitting there and they're kind of just – they almost look lethargic, but they've just got this massive smile on their face and everything. And, I mean, it's that sense of accomplishment that we've done our job. You came in. You expected something. Mm-hmm. We exceeded your expectations, and we can't wait to see you again. And I think that's what I would say most places, especially in downtown Mobile, that's what they're about. You know?
Right, is the dining experience mm-hmm. and not just the convenience.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have put too much emphasis on the convenience part of this. And I was talking with one of my sous chefs. She was doing a private dinner and wanted to know how to price it out. And I said, one of the mistakes we've made in this industry the last several decades is devaluing what we do. And I said, so $35 a plate, yes. It's okay to charge them $35 a plate for you to come in their home and cook them four courses.
Absolutely.
I said, if Mike and I do something, if it's four courses, it's 40.
Yeah.
You know, or 45, depending on how they want it paired. And we're learning, and the people who appreciate the actual mission of the restaurant industry are the ones that are coming out and really supporting. And we want to thank them, because that first Friday night after the shutdown, and I'm working out at Sim's House of Pizza, we were able to do to go. We didn't know what to expect. You know, you had the same feelings when you first opened. You just don't know. It's a terrifying feeling. And then we, the first Friday night, we did the same numbers we did when we had dine-in service.
That's great.
Yeah. And thank you to the people of Sims.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that place is awesome, too, by the way.
It really is.
His sister lives in our same neighborhood. Actually, his niece is one of our babysitters. Mm-hmm. But, COVID has had its peaks and valleys, and I think it's going to continue to over the next year and a half to 2 years. And I think in order for restaurateurs to be successful with this, they have to be adaptable and they have to be willing to change. Mm-hmm. There are so many market reports that are out there for restaurateurs to be able to get access to that are completely free through the National Restaurant Association to try to predict what's going to come and change and be ahead of the game, because I think that is really the only way that they're going to be successful over the next year and a half to 2 years is being willing to change. I think that if you've got people that are sticking to their guns, we're not doing this, that it's going to be difficult for them to have a foreseeable future over the next year and a half to 2 years. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think there's anything wrong with change. I think that's what keeps customers especially excited. That's why we try to change our menu up every 2 years. Twice a year, not every 2 years.
Yeah. Innovation is the key to survival. Mike and I have punched you this morning.
I want to say something, too. A little over a year ago, the community came together for Roy on Florida Street.
Absolutely.
It was devastating. Not only Roy, but the other businesses up and down there. And Stu and I noticed this, and we noticed what you did. And so we got you something, and you're the first person ever, the first business, first person ever to receive this award, and we're going to be giving these awards out, believe it or not, on a yearly basis.
I'm going to let Mike dig into that and tell you the name of the award is the Spirit of Hospitality Award.
Okay.
And it goes to the restaurateur or organization that best exemplifies the spirit of hospitality.
Wow.
And you're the first recipient.
Okay.
And
Wow, guys, look at that. That is, I wish everybody could see this. This is it.
We're going to take some pictures.
We got the Facebook Live. You want to hang it up there on the commercial break?
Absolutely. I'm telling you, guys, winning, awards and cooking competitions is something, but this is this goes well beyond that. I thank y'all so much. It's my pleasure and my staff's pleasure, but this is
and there are a lot of people who deserve this as well.
Yeah,
you really stood out with us, and a lot of people deserve this as well. But we felt you were deserved first, and we hope to give more of these out to other well-deserving people in the hospitality industry.
Guys, thank you so much.
Matt, again, thank you for everything you've done for the industry locally. For me personally, I could go on my own personal list of what your family has meant to me. Wow. So, but this was earned by what you did for everyone else. Roy, here's the message from Roy. Tell Matt that Roy from Butch Cassidy said hi, and I remember him and some of the other downtown restaurants all wanted to get together and do a fundraiser to help during the road construction. Wonderful guy.
Well, Roy's an incredible guy, and what he does and continues to do for our community is awesome, and I can't wait to sink into a Butch Burger here, hopefully in the next month or so.
All right. Thanks, folks. One more segment to go, 343-0106.
Lunch, Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, I think that went well.
I got a little tear.
Yeah. Right, I think Matt was a little bit surprised.
Yes, yes.
That's why. We've been teasing the Spirit of Hospitality Award for a couple of months now, and you know, we actually were going to present that about a month ago, and the COVID does things like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, every July, I'm good with that.
Hey.
And what's funny is, Mike was saying, there's so many people we could have given it to. Well, that just lets you know we've got the next two or three already planned out.
So, possibly.
Yeah, unless we have a restaurateur cure cancer.
You know, it's not just about owning a restaurant,
right.
and running a restaurant and serving food.
Mm-hmm.
The people who like Matt and like Pete and like
Bob Omansky is a wonderful example.
Bob Omansky and JT John Thompson at Callahan's
and Alec Naaman and
Roy and all them, and there's more we could mention. But it's what they do outside, off the clock, mm-hmm. Outside of the restaurant or their business. And it's not just restaurateurs.
Right.
Some people donate a lot of their time and their money
mm-hmm.
to different events, and particularly to help the community. And that's what we're about, helping the community. And that's what we do. We try to, you know, that's what we've always done is try to promote locally.
To celebrate.
And regionally. Celebrate locally and regionally. So.
Yeah.
And we were such in a renaissance of restaurants and music just going strong. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah. But like Matt said, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as we help each other out, a good deal of us are going to make it okay.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are.
And then, you know, that's the most you can hope for out of any day, COVID or not, is that at the end of the day, most of us are still around,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's life. I found that out personally. We've all encountered it mm-hmm. in our lives. So thank you, Matt Golden, for being the very embodiment of the Spirit of Hospitality.
There it is. Hospitality. He got the very first one.
Yep.
And we will be presenting others.
Yeah, but when we do a cook-off, you can do your wrestling belt.
Yeah, I want a wrestling belt.
Yeah,
but I'm just going to get one made for me.
Well, there you go.
I got to think about what I want to put on it. Wine expert extraordinaire. How about that? What you got in there?
Sweet tea.
You know what goes good with sweet tea? Alabama table wine. It's that cinnamon taste stuff. Fireball and sweet tea goes together great.
No,
it does.
No,
I hear you laughing over there, Leanne.
Really?
Don't mess up my tea with cinnamon.
You know, it was at the Chili Cook-Off, and I was at the bicycle shops. Of course, the bicycle shops exhibit and or their booth, and they said, "Here, Mike Bailey, try some of these sweet teas." And I go, "Whoa!" That's good. And it was cold and wet and damp and rain, kind of drizzly that morning, and I had several of them. I warmed up really well.
Well, did you get to eat anywhere this week?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I went back to the Jamaican restaurant, and
you need to give the name. That helps them.
Yeah.
Which one?
Desmond's Jamaican restaurant. I had the ribs this week.
Yeah.
And delicious. I'm still tasting that pork chop from last week that I had there. it's so good. I'm gonna tell you, I've experimented a lot of different places. PS Tacos,
mm-hmm.
really good. I know they're a chain,
right?
But they are alone. There's a couple of
and like right now, it. We've got to help everyone. You know,
absolutely. Yeah. And they seem to be doing bonkers good. I ate at Felix's last night.
Yeah.
And
the Coopers are always good.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this whitefish, and mm-hmm. It was good. Yeah. And what about you?
We made it to Squid Ink Wednesday night, a date night. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm enjoying about this quality of life thing that I've heard people talk about.
Getting off at night?
Yeah, is that I can get off at 5 o'clock, Heather gets off at 5 o'clock. We meet somewhere in the middle, and we have dinner and drinks. And mm-hmm. Went to Squid Ink, had a wonderful time. Our server ended up being a friend of Heather's from a mm-hmm. place she had worked before. And Panini Pete walks in, so we got to visit with Pete
mm-hmm.
and see how things are going. And just that Mobtown Chicken's the best fried chicken sandwich you'll ever eat.
I gotta try it.
Yeah, it is just terrific.
I went to Ed's last Sunday.
And, yeah, I saw that.
As I was leaving.
Did you do the breakfast or the lunch?
I did the lunch. And as I was leaving, I ran into Pete. He was
pulling making
up.
The rounds. Yeah.
Well, he had Jody in the car, and they were going to get flowers, so he had to get his trailer and go to Lowe's or Home Depot or the flower shop, place you get flowers at.
Yeah, like flower Bill, getting place.
Yeah, like Bill Finch says, the flower getting place.
Yeah,
and that's where he was going, and take care of his lady.
Yeah,
and make her happy.
Yeah, we went to Stokely's last weekend out because we live in Sims, so it's literally around the corner from us.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran up there. We actually had taken Bug to the groomer and said, we got a little time to kill before they done.
Yeah.
So we went to Stokely's and we left with about a dozen succulents. She has wanted her own pot full of succulents and succulent garden. So she's got them now. She's got about a dozen. She's got a pot that she painted the outside of just the way she wants it. And, and she's going to end up throwing it together. But, that's one of the good things is, we're getting in touch with nature.
Yeah.
And we both enjoy it. And where I live, it's just it's a wilderness retreat.
Yeah. We talk. It seems like we talk mostly about things in Mobile, but I would really recommend if you're going, say, shopping with your girlfriend or wife over to the outlets, stop in downtown Foley and try Desmond's. That's really good. I ate at Guru's several weeks ago.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Guru. We got 2 minutes left, and somebody wants to talk about a fantasy dinner plate on line one. You want to bring him on real quickly, Anna? Hey, Walter, we have about 90 seconds. What's your question?
All right, guys, loaded question. I'll make it quick. If for the city of Mobile or Mobile surrounding area, if you had to come up with the perfect dinner plate and you had an item that you could get from any restaurant, what would that plate look like? Just to kind of give us an idea of the perfect dinner plate, you can choose anywhere you want.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it would have to have a little something from everywhere, wouldn't it? The smoked gumbo zerb from Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Just to throw gumbo off on its edge a little bit. West Indies salad. Who's going to? Bailey's, the original, right? Bailey's.
Yes, the original.
So there's a lot of seafood on it, I could tell you that. Some steamed shrimp from the original Oyster House.
Yeah.
That's good stuff right there. Or the char-grilled oysters from Wenzel's.
Absolutely.
And we hadn't even got to the steaks yet, buddy. 90 seconds wasn't enough to address this, Walter. So Mike and I will see if we can't put one together a piece and talk about it next week.
Us think about it. Let me put my mind to it.
And then y'all can all vote on which one of us had the better plate.
There you go.
Sound like a winner?
Oh, that'd be a little competition.
Yeah. And the winner gets a wrestling belt that Mike pays for.
I'll take an old tin can and cut one.
Real quick, what David Hubble have to say? Cool award. Thanks, David. Michael, it's been a fun day.
Yeah, it's been a great day. We were excited about today.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's here. Now I don't have to worry about where I can set my house, so I don't set on a thing and
Why would you keep sitting it on chairs and couches? Is that the only flat surface you have?
I don't have many places to set my house right now.
Yeah, I'm sure the cat
would. If you went over there, you'd understand. So.
All right. Well, we got to get out of here, buddy.
Yes, we do. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Do it like you're trying to win an award.
Follow Matt Golden's example and be the spirit of hospitality.
Set examples and be an example.
There we go. And the main thing you got to do is
provolone.